we all love stories. My son loves stories. You all know. I think I also know that you love stories, right? You know, in January 12, 2010, Haiti was struck by a massive earthquake. And it left a lot dying, homeless, and a lot of people, thousands of them, lost their lives. And then there is one person, a child, who was 4 years old, buried under the rubbles. But then in 3 days, he was rescued. And the people who rescued him observed something, that as soon as Paul Derleans saw the light, when the rescuers tried to, you know, try to get all the rubbles above him, his life or his face shines, and there is hope in his smile. And we all know that the same thing happened in June 24, 2026. Venezuela was again struck by a strong earthquake, and the same story happened to Fabiana. Fabiana, who is 3 years old, was rescued again after 3 days, and she was found smiling when she saw the light. You know, light is very important, because with light comes life, and hope becomes alive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for calling us your children. I thank you for giving us this chance that we will know our new identity in Christ. Help us to know that we are in you, and allow us and help us never to let expectation, never to let opinions and even rejections of others to define us and to define our worth. Lord Jesus, you are the light, and help us to walk confidently in your light. And Lord, this morning, as your mouthpiece, help me to share your word, and help me, O God, that the opinions, the character, and decisions that I will make will always reflect your love and will always reflect your truth as I share your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. As you can see, Paul Derleans, a three-year-old boy, and Fabiana, a three-year-old girl, find hope when they saw the light. The light for them means hope was born again. The light for them means life. The light for them means freedom. You can just imagine, if you're under the rubble, okay, after the earthquake, we all know that the Philippines also experienced the same thing, right? In fact, the church extended help to the Philippines. And if you can just imagine, if you are under the rubble, it's so dark and you cannot see anything, but the light means freedom to them. The light means safety. The light means reunion with their family, because after they were saved, they were reunited with their family. The light means darkness was gone. The light means the night was over. The light means suffering was ended. You know, if you are under the rubble, you cannot breathe properly because there's no oxygen, or probably the oxygen is limited. But when you are already out from the rubble, because you have seen the light, the suffering ended. No more pain, no more hunger, no more fear. And you know, our world today is facing the same desperate condition. If you look around, if you open the television, if you listen to the news, if you listen to news feeds in Facebook, in Instagram, and whatever platform you are using, the world today is facing the same desperation, physical desperation, and then spiritual desperation. Every day, a lot of people pass eternity without experiencing the light of life, which is Jesus Christ. a lot of people. Some of them, they passed eternity at a young age. Some of them, they passed eternity at, you know, a late stage, like 90, 80. But a lot of them still in this world failed to recognize and to experience the light of life. Every day, millions of souls live in darkness, bound by Satan. Your neighbors could be one. One of your household members could be one. Your office mates could be one. They are bound in darkness. They are bound by Satan. Every day, fear, pain, hatred, and suffering bury millions of souls around the world in a prison of darkness and despair. Just like what Paul Derleans and what Fabiana experienced when their countries were struck by a massive earthquake. They were under the rubble. It was complete darkness. Nothing that they can see. But when the light was there, when the rescuers were finally able to bring out the last piece that covers them, they saw the light. Amen? In other words, hope is on the way if we see the light. Hope is in the way if we see the light. The people around us will see the way if they will see the light. Our rescue is certain if the light pierces our dark world. Probably you are in a dark world. Probably, you know, our neighbors are in a dark world, our friends, our families. But let us tell them that the rescue from the Lord is certain once the light pierces their dark world. You know, Jesus brought light to the world, and he continues to bring light through us because we are the light. That is our new identity. God's goal is not just to bring light, but to continue to reproduce and multiply light in us so that we can also shine as bright. You know, our text today is found in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. And it goes this way. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, there are three things that we need to know, three truths about God's calling for us to be the light of the world. And I will bring you to the first one. You are called, or we are called, to be a blaze for God. Just before the service started, I tried to understand the real meaning of a blaze. So, of course, I consulted my friend Google. And it says there that a blaze means burning, strongly burning. It means on fire. You are called to be a blaze for God. Now, if we recall Matthew 5:14, it is said, "You are the light of the world." When we receive the light of the world, we become light to the world. Amen? When we receive Jesus as the light of the world, we are becoming the light to the dark world. When Jesus lives in us, we reflect his nature to others. It means other people around us, our office mates, our neighbors, our friends, will see the light that is shining in our lives because we have Jesus in us. We have the light in us. Our identity, therefore, leads to our responsibility. You know, if you have the light, you have the responsibility to keep it shining. Amen? If you have the light, if you have Jesus, you have the responsibility to keep Jesus shining in your life so that others may see the light. Amen? That's why if you have a friend who's a Christian and the light is already flickering, oh, you need to remind him. You need to keep the light shining. Amen? You need to keep the light shining. It's easy to say amen if you're inside the church. But once you go out, you know, there are a lot of things there. Your friends, your neighbors, your office mates. And sometimes, you know, they try to influence you. They try to turn off your light, or they try to stop your light from shining. But in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 7, it is said there, "For God who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts." God calls you who you are so that we can, or so that he can use us. And he speaks about you, he speaks about me, he speaks about us, so that he can speak through you. You know, others may just try to observe you, and then all of a sudden they will say, "You know what, I am so blessed about your life. I am so blessed about you." Why? Because your life speaks. Jesus speaks through your life. Jesus speaks to others through your life. It means you are becoming a blessing because you have the light. Amen? We are called to be the light to shine. We should not downplay our calling to be the light. Don't just say, "Oh, that is just a light. We are just a light." No, we are not just a light, but we are the light. Amen? We are the light. We should not emphasize our excuses to be the light. Sometimes we say, "Oh," if you remember Pastor Ron's preaching last Sunday, he said, "You could be impaired, but not impeded," right? You may say, "Oh, I cannot do this. I am left-handed." No, it doesn't matter at all. You could be right-handed, you could be left-handed, whatever is your circumstance, what is around you does not determine what God puts in you. And that is his light. Amen? That's why in John 1:5, it is said there, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." No matter what is your what circumstance you are in at the moment, what situation you have, when you have the light, remember this. When you have Jesus, you will shine. Amen? No matter how dark your life is, no matter how dark the world you are in, if you have Jesus in your heart, you will shine. Amen? We will shine because we have Jesus in our hearts. God has called you for a purpose. Amen? Do you believe that? Why you are here? Because you have a purpose. You are not an ordinary person. Maybe your role is just to sit down and listen and then give your tithes and offering and then raise your hand, say hallelujah, amen to the pastor as he preaches. But you have a purpose. Romans 8:29. God planned that those he had chosen would become like his son. In that way, Christ will be the first and most honored among many brothers. God has placed us here on earth so that we become like him. As he is shown, we will shine because he is the light. Amen? As he lived, we will live. As he ministered to others, we will minister to others. We always have to remember this. He is the first, and we are the followers. Amen? Jesus is always the original, and we are the photocopy. He is the light. We are also the light. He is the light, and we are the light. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priest, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. You know, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it gives me the confidence that I am not ordinary. Remember, I am chosen. You tell that to yourself. I am chosen. Only a few. I can only hear a few. Say, I am chosen. You were chosen. Who's telling you this? No, not me. It's Jesus. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are a chosen people. It means we are identified as chosen. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen? It seems that you are in doubt. Do you believe that we are chosen people? Yes. Amen. We should believe that we are chosen people. And then we are given a purpose. And what is that purpose? To tell about the wonderful acts of God. It means to say that our lives would be a living testimony of how good God is. Amen? Our lives would be a living testimony to others. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He has a plan for us to do good, to live good, to shine for Jesus. And that is our purpose. Amen? To do good, to live good, to shine for Jesus. That's why you can never shine if you don't have the light. And who is the light? It's Jesus. We need to have him in our life. Because, again, with the light comes hope. With the light comes life. With the light comes freedom. With the light comes mourning. The light is very significant. Jesus, therefore, is very important in our lives. You know, with the advancement of science and technology, sometimes we tend to forget that, you know, God is in control of everything. We rely so much on technology, we tend to forget that, you know, with just one click, God can stop it. That's why we need to be very careful. We need not to think that God is nowhere, because God is always here and God is everywhere. Amen? Isaiah 60:1-2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. God has sent his light to us because there is a desperate need in the world. God has sent his light to you, to me, to all of us, because there is a desperate need here in Florida. I still have to ask you for updates because it was announced that last Tuesday was an election, right? And I don't know the result yet. And I don't know what's the implication of that. But again, whatever the result is, Florida needs Jesus. Amen? Our community needs Jesus. That's why God sent his light to us in us so that we can be the light here in Florida. It is not just a physical desperation, I will tell you. It is not just disease and war and poverty and hatred, but it is spiritual desperation that is affecting the world. You know, it could be unbelief. It could be false religion. It could be idolatry. It could be sin. It could be anything spiritual that affects the world. And that leads us to the second truth about our calling as, you know, the light of this world. We are called to be ablaze. And second, we are called to ascend for a purpose. You will not just remain where you are, but you will ascend. Matthew 5:14, part of the verse, it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Even if you are far, but if you have the light, people can see you. So wherever you are, wherever is your location, what is your zip code? It doesn't matter, because people can see you if you have the light. Amen? This is actually God's powerful promise. God is promising us a prominent place of power and influence. When we accept God's purpose in our lives, we have the access of His promise for our lives. When we surrender our lives to Him, when we surrender our plans to His plan, He will give us the power we need to fulfill His purpose. In John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. That's why we need to stop living as if the purpose of life is just to arrive safely at death, right? Sometimes people will think about that. Oh, I'm just here to live, enjoy my life, and then I will die later, right? So whatever is your circumstance, people might say that, okay, you're just here to live, and then you will arrive safely at your death. No, that is not. Because Jesus actually didn't die to keep us safe. Jesus died so that we will be a dangerous to the world where our enemies live. No, you should be dangerous to Satan. You should be dangerous to anybody who tries to destroy you spiritually. God is making us dangerous to the enemies of this world. That's why you are not ordinary. You know, the person sitting beside you may look ordinary, but that person is dangerous. Try to look at him. Try to look at your left. Who is sitting at your left? Who is sitting at your right? Oh, that is dangerous. He is dangerous to the enemies of this world. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because we are more than conquerors. Amen? Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Our enemies may roar like a lion. You know, sometimes we have enemies who keeps on roaring, who keeps on making noise. But remember, we are dangerous. We are victorious. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalms 3:3, it is said there, but you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestowed glory on me and lift up my head. So it doesn't matter what family you came from. What is your family? the origin of your family. Are you from the royal family? It doesn't matter. Why? Because what matters is that the family that we now belong. Amen? We are already part of the family of Christ. Amen? You are not ordinary. You are dangerous to the enemies of this world. So people may think that you're ordinary because you're just so silent, just trying to sit down, just trying to focus. But hey, you are dangerous to the enemies of this world. Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God didn't call you to average. We are not average at all. We are extraordinary. God has called us to ascend up higher. And this is not just about promotion, but this is about a call to live a high standard of living in his kingdom. That's why it's not easy to have the light, because you have the responsibility. You are not just there to ablaze, to be burning, to be on fire. You're also there to ascend. You are also there to set a high standard of living. That's why our bad behavior, our messy life, will not help us do this. You know, ascending, ablazing, it will not help us if our bad behavior is still there and our messy life still exists. 2 Corinthians 3:14, 3:18, I mean. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Very nice verse. You know, I'm reminded by an old hymn, like, from glory to glory, he's changing me. Are you familiar with that? Changing me, changing me. His light, likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. For he's changing, changing me. So we are changed. We are being transformed so that we can ascend. Amen? So that we can go up. Not just ablaze, but we are here to ascend for a purpose. Not just to be ablaze for God, but we are here to go up. To set a high standard of living. That's why in Ephesians 5:8, for we were once in darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light. Live as children of light. You know, when I reflect on this, it says, live as children of life. It means we need to do it every day. We need to make it as our lifestyle. Not just every Sunday as a children of light, but it should be like every day. And I tell you, it's not easy. Amen? Not easy. It's not easy. But this is our new identity. To be ablaze and to ascend. With a purpose. And that leads us to the third one and the last point that I'm going to make today. You are called to act for impact. Our action should have an impact to those who received it. In Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is something that we must do. We need to act in order to have good works in our lives. When we do something, others must be affected by our action. When we do something, people around us must be blessed because we are here to act for an impact. We will not just do things without finding results. We will not just do things without finding anything extraordinary as a result. When we act, there should be an impact. That is being the light. It is not just burning. It is not just strongly burning. It is not just ascending for a purpose. But we are here to take action to make an impact. We need to act in order to have good works in our lives. We need to do something. We are not just here to sit down and do nothing. We need to do something. Deuteronomy 1:8, I have given you this land. Go and take possession of the land. This is very common, right? We all know this. God promises the Israelites the land of Canaan. God said to them, I have given you this land. Go and take possession. We need to make an act, right? The Israelites had to do this. Okay, I will give you this land, but you know, you have to do something. You need to go there, conquer, possess the land, right? Amen? We're not just here to receive it, but we need to do something. God gave Canaan to Israelites, but they need to do something. They need to possess it, right? You cannot just say, oh, I need a job, but you're not applying. How can you have a job if you don't apply, right? You have a food in your fridge. And I need to eat, I'm hungry. Nothing will happen if you will not cook the food. You have to do something. You have to act. You need to make an impact. Amen? Miracles happen when you act on it. That's why, you know, I am really appreciative of the gestures that we have here in the church. We always pray, right? Every Sunday we pray. And then every Sunday we're also hearing progress report. We're hearing miracles. Amen? Why? Because we are making an action. We are not just sitting down. We are not just saying, oh, we need miracle. That's it. But we need miracle, Lord. That's why we are praying. We are kneeling down. Because we want to see results. Amen? Breakthroughs happen when we participate. It will never happen if you will just sit at the corner and do nothing. But breakthroughs happen if we participate. In other words, if you will go back to the history, you know, Canaan was given to Israelites. But if you go back and try to understand it, God's part is the giving. But, you know, possessing it is the part for the Israelites to do. They have to act on it. God gave the land. This is your land. But you need to go and possess it. Right? Ephesians 5:14. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Okay, who is sleeping here? Awake. You have to wake up if you're sleeping. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Right? His glory will shine on us if we awake and arise. God feeds the sparrow, the birds, you know, but he doesn't throw their food into their nest, right? Did God put bird feeds on their nest? No, but God make them survive. God provides them, But the sparrow needs to do something. They need to fly. They need to go to the ground or maybe, you know, sit on the tree and look for some food. But God feeds the sparrow. But he doesn't throw their food into their nest. The sparrow needs to do something. God uses the weak to perfect strength. So again, if you remember last Sunday, if you feel inferior because you are left-handed, God uses the weak to perfect strength. God uses the foolish to confound the wise. And this happens all the time. Acts 26, 17 to 18. I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So if we're going to personalize this, it goes this way. I am sending you to Florida to open the eyes of the people so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Amen? God is sending us here. Therefore, it is not an accident why we are here. Amen? It is not an accident why you are retiring in this state of Florida. Because even if you're a retiree, you can still do something. Remember, you are not ordinary. Amen? You are still dangerous. Even if you are in your walker or in your cane, remember, you are still dangerous to the enemies of this world. Amen? Amen? Amen. You tell that to someone. You are still dangerous. Okay? Be careful because we are still dangerous. We matter. Amen? Daniel 12:3. This is the last verse. And those who are wise, the people of God, shall shine as brightly as the sun's brilliance. And those who turn many to righteousness will glitter like stars forever. You know, the promise of God is really great. We just have to remember that our new identity as the light of this world reminds us that we are called to ablaze. We are called to ascend for a purpose. And we are called to act for an impact. I'm inviting everyone to please stand up as we close this in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true and amen to all your people. Father, as we continue to shine and as you continue to help us shine, O God, help us, dear Father, that we will be able to affect others' lives. Continue to use us for your glory. Continue your glory to shine in us, O God. And continue, dear Father, to work in us, O God, so that others may see your good works. Lord, as we part ways from this place, I pray that will continue to be with us. Continue to cover us with your precious blood. And continue, O God, to use us, O God, to shine as bright. Because you are the light and we are the light. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.